Book of Acts, chapter 9, beginning with verse 32. Now, as Peter went here and there among all the believers, he came down also to the saints living in Lydda. There he found a man named Aeneas, who had been bedridden for 8 years, for he was paralyzed. Peter said to him, "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." And immediately he got up. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. Now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. At that time she became ill and died. When they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, who heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him with the request, "Please, come to us without delay." So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. All the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Peter bid them all outside, and then he knelt down and prayed. He turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Then she opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then calling the saints and widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Meanwhile, Peter stayed in Joppa for some time with a certain Simon, a tanner. My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This moment, I want to speak to you for a few moments about Aeneas, Tabitha, and Peter. Now, just a little while ago, we were reading from Psalms 103. And as we read this, we had the verse 3 that says how we should bless God, why he forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases. And then verse 4 says, he redeems your life from the pit. And I chose that psalm because it went for this scripture about healing. And then that last part about, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon the faithful, and the righteousness of the Lord to the children's children. And that phrase I thought was very appropriate on this Youth Sunday, as our youth has done such a great job in greeting us at the door and playing music and accolading and leading in psalm and liturgy, reading to us scriptures. So we have our friend Peter, and he's out about, and he's in a certain town called Lydda. And here you have this poor guy named Aeneas. This guy has been in bed for 8 years. He is paralyzed. He can't move. He's stuck. You know, this little while ago in our psalm, it talks about being in the pit. You know, he redeems your life from the pit. He was in a pit experience. This guy was bedridden. And so Aeneas comes in. Peter comes into Aeneas. And what does he say? "Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed." Now notice what Peter said. He didn't say, "Aeneas, my name is Peter and I'm here to heal you." No. He said, "Jesus Christ heals you." And you may recall around this time last year I was doing a series out of the book of James, and the last chapter was about the verses about healing. And James tells his Jewish believers and says, "Are any of you sick? They should call for the elders of the church. They should anoint the sick with oil, praying for them, and the Lord will raise them up. And I hammered home back then, and I'm going to hammer home today, that no one can go around saying, I healed somebody. No, you didn't. It's very clear from the James and the book of Acts that it is Jesus Christ who does the healing. Now, he may use you as the vessel for the healing, but you are not the healer. So you turn on the TV and you got somebody with a bright white suit and the lights are flashing, the music's playing, and he's saying, praise God, I'm healed. No. You forget that. When it's real healing, it doesn't do all that little smoke and mirror stuff. All that loud music. All Peter did was lay down, guided by the Spirit, and said, nice, the Lord Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and make your bed. And it said, immediately he got up. The healing was instantaneously. And it said, all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord. In other words, when they saw Ananias walking down the street, they knew something happened. Imagine somebody you knew was paralyzed. Every time you saw them, they were in a wheelchair. And then one day you look and they're running down the streets of Inglewood or Etowah. You say, what happened? And I said, the Lord Jesus healed me. He'll make you a believer. Well, then we have a second story that is, I found to be very poignant. So we got another town called Joppa. And we have a lady whose name is Tabitha. And the Greek version of that name is Dorcas, okay? And Tabitha is Aramaic. Dorcas is Greek. They both mean gazelle, okay? A gazelle is a very beautiful creature, like an antelope out in the Middle East. Very majestic, very graceful, the way it runs and jumps, okay? And it says she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. In other words, she wasn't living for herself. She had a life dedicated to serving those around her. And at the time, it says she became ill and died. So here's this very sweet lady. She becomes sick and she dies. And then following Jewish burial customs, when they had washed her, they laid her in a room upstairs. Now, since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples who heard Peter was there sent two men with him with the request, please come to us without delay. Now, it's unclear to me, but I kind of suspect that they sent this request to Peter when she was still alive and she was sick. Like, we need to get Peter here. Maybe he can lay hands on her and heal her, okay? And so Peter got up and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. Now, in the Gospels, the upstairs room, in the book of Acts as well, is very important. You may recall it was in the upstairs room that Jesus held his famous Last Supper, when he took the bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to them and said, take and eat, this is my body. Larry took the cup and blessed it, shared with them, and said, take and drink this, all of you. This is my blood, which is poured out for the covenant, for the forgiveness of sins for many. Do this in remembrance of me. And then, of course, on Pentecost Sunday, they were in an upper room praying, one mind and one accord. When they heard the sound of the mighty rushing wind, the Holy Spirit came, and the church was born on Pentecost Sunday. And so Peter goes up to the upstairs. And I thought this part was very touching. It said, all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made while she was with them. Now, these are widows. These are women who had husbands had died and gone on. And no doubt that Tabitha had taken care of them and loved on them, mourned with them. And they're there weeping that this sweet lady had passed away. And then it says, showing tunics and other clothing that Dorcas had made. And so this morning I got here a little early and I got a few props out. Now, these look familiar. You may have seen these in our little drive-through nativity we had back in December. Okay, that was a big hit. And so they'd be like, Peter comes in, and they're like, Peter, no, let me show what she made for me, or let me show what she made for my niece. And I'm sure Peter looked at this, and he would say, I like those colors, blue and white. I don't know, I got a few grounds on that one. But they're showing Peter things she had made, you know. And that's one thing when somebody gives you something from the store, you know, and we appreciate that. But there's something extra special, though, when someone shows you something that a loved one made for you. They didn't go on Amazon Prime like I do and click the button, and 2 days later it showed up at the doorstep, okay? They took time, they thought about it, designed it, got the materials, and put it together. I'm going to set this down. I remember in 2020, my Uncle Wayne came by the house, and he was a road warrior, and what's funny is, he's my Uncle Wayne. If you know Miss Amy Massengill over at Central, he's also her uncle as well. You know, one day we were talking, and he was asking about his niece at Central, and I made the connection. We had the same uncle. But he came by one day. He was on those tights. He was pop in. Okay, you didn't know he was like Jesus. He just came at any time, any hour. Okay, he just showed up, and he brought in a little piece of furniture. It wasn't very big at all. But he gave it to my mom and said, "I want you to have this. Dean made this." Now, Dean was one of mom's brothers who died at the very back in 1980. Okay. Now, and mom didn't even know that this particular item existed. Okay, didn't know the history of it. And she still has it. And it's in the living room, and that's why she has her phone and address book sitting on. It was a little small piece of furniture. It wasn't anything huge, you know. He was able to bring it down here. But he wanted her to have that. Okay, and that was in June, July, I believe. No, it would have been in July. And then about a month or so later, he actually passed away, you know. And so we kind of wonder, you know, was he realizing he was coming to the end of his life, he was going through stuff, and we'll make sure they went into the right people, you know. But there was something poignant about that, you know. This wasn't some any piece of furniture. This little piece of furniture wasn't very big at all, that we now have our phone and address book sitting on. No, it was made by her brother. He's been with the Lord for 40 plus years now. Now, and I remember my sister sent me a picture one time of my nephew when he was, you know, a few months old. I went, ah, because in the picture he is on a blanket. And I recognized that blanket. It's a blanket my grandmother, his great grandmother, had made way back in the 1980s. Okay. And I thought, how nice of that, even though she's been gone 20 years. Here's this blanket she made. And now her great-grandson is now on that blanket. There's just something poignant about when a person takes the time to make something and they give it away. It's just more than just the cloth and the wood and such. They gave away part of their heart. It's their way of saying, I care about you. I appreciate you. And so here we have this very sad scene of Peter is upstairs, and these women are weeping and mourning, and they're showing him all this clothing that she had made him, that she had made. And then Peter does something I thought was kind of interesting. Peter then kicks them all out of the room. Now you think, well, I want everybody around for this, but no, Peter said, everybody go outside. Okay. Now, usually when you do that, you're in trouble, right? When your teacher says it's time for you to go outside, that means you messed up. But Peter sent the widows outside. And then it said he knelt down and prayed. And I think the reason he prayed was he wanted to know what God's will in this situation was. And he says he turned to the body and said, "Tabitha, get up." Now, it's interesting that her name is Tabitha. Now, the other week when I was talking about the Ethiopian and how the Ethiopian had a little Bible study with Philip and they got baptized and then Philip disappeared. And I said, you know, that's like in the book of Luke where Jesus has a Bible study on the road to Emmaus and then he disappears. Well, I want you to think back to Jesus' ministry. Remember there was an occasion where a guy named Jairus said, "Lord, my daughter is sick. Come lay hands on her." And Jesus said, "I'm coming." And as he's coming, he gets kind of caught in a traffic jam. And at one point, Jesus says, "Who touched me?" And the disciples, they're kind of like his security guards, said, "Well, Lord, you know, everybody's, no, it's crowded. You know, no, everybody's touching." He says, "No, no, no. Somebody gave me a purposeful touch." And I'm sure everybody kind of moved back. And lo and behold, it was this poor old lady who had been suffering from a hemorrhage and bleeding. And Mary, she said, "If I only touch the hem of his garment, I'll be healed." And when she reached out in faith, his divine presence entered her and healed her. Well, that was a good thing. The only problem was, though, by the time Jesus got to the house of Jairus, Jairus came out and said, "There's no need to bother the master now. She's dead." And maybe recall how inside the house, the people were weeping and mourning. And Jesus said, "The little girl's not dead. She's only asleep." And they laughed at Jesus. And what did Jesus do? He kicked out everybody out of the house. Except for a handful of people. And he goes in that room, and you have the little girl. Then you have Jairus and his wife, the mom and dad, that makes three. Then you have Peter, James, and John, that makes six. And then came Jesus, number seven, the number of divine perfection. And this is one of the few cases in the Gospels where we actually have in Aramaic Jesus' actual words. Most of the time we have a Greek translation. But here we have Aramaic. What is the Aramaic word for arise? Little girl, rise up. It's Talitha kumi. Little girl, arise. Well, here's Peter, and he's thinking, this is interesting. Jesus said, "Talitha kumi, little girl, arise." I'm going to say, "Tabitha kumi, Tabitha, arise." And when he did that, her eyes opened. She saw Peter. And I think in her spirit, she knew who it was. And she stood up. You know? And I like this part. It's just so human. And he said, he gave her his hand and helped her up. You know? I'm sure all the things you remember last was, I was very sick. I was in bed and things were getting foggy. And that's all I remember. And then it says, then calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. In other words, he went outside and said, "Come on in." They came in and got surprised. When they left with tears of sadness. When they came back in, the tears of sadness turned to tears of joy. They thought they were getting ready for a funeral. And instead of the funeral, they were getting ready to have a party. And it says, this became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. Now, why did God work miracles in our lives? He does out his goodness and his grace, but most importantly, that we may put our faith in him. The psalmist says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forgetting all his God benefits. Who forgives us our iniquities and heals us all of your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy." So when you leave this afternoon, don't leave all down and out. Remember, your Heavenly Father loves you. And if you wake up this morning and you were in a pit experience, Your Heavenly Father is wanting to pull you out of that pit experience. He wants to crown you with love and mercy. Thanks be to God. Amen.